Charlie, back we go to our conversation now with Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist for Channel Capital Research. Doug, right before we took a break here on our conversation, you were discussing efforts by the new administration and whether there would be some tax policy change on the way. Please elaborate.
Well, I don't think they're going to. I think, you know, with regard to the Bush tax cuts, there was discussion before that they would raise taxes, and I think the new administration has really backed off on that. They're going to let those expire naturally in 2010. And then there's discussion of really a middle-class tax cut, somewhat similar, although we don't have the full details as to kind of the tax rebate we got earlier, but really directed primarily toward the middle class and hopefully something much more long-lasting than just a temporary tax rebate. But again, we'll get more information of that when the new administration. That probably stands the best bet for a short-term stimulus, but the real question is really how long, you know, that will last in terms of any effect on consumer spending. The last tax rebate we saw was primarily saved, put away, paid off debt, and really had a minor blip on the radar screen, and then we went back to where we were before.
All right, Doug, seven cuts in interest rates and the interest rate targets this year by Federal Reserve policymakers. You've penned something called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. How do you follow the Fed here?
Well, right now what you're seeing is really the Fed is really fighting to reliquify the system. What they've done is they're in a situation where, you know, they're trying to inject liquidity. The Fed is really becoming the true lender of last resort. They've actually, you know, bypassing the banks and lending directly into the credit markets because the banks have their own problems. And by purely lending to them, they may be recapitalizing the banks, but they can't encourage them to lend. And that essentially was bottling up the system. So that is something quite positive that Mr. Bernanke has done, is he's really gone past the banks and really gone into the system and started liquefying it. Ultimately, the Fed is continuing to do what they need to do. The question is when they will be successful at doing this. Traditionally, what we found in our research is that when that happens, small-cap stocks tend to benefit the most of that. You might have a prolonged trading range, really, with large-cap stocks as represented by the S&P 500, where they really just bounce around and don't go anywhere. Actually, we saw that even before this year, since the year 2000, actually. Prior to this year, really the S&P 500 was only returning really what Treasury bills were returning. And you could see that for a prolonged period of time. But the liquidity does tend to benefit small-cap stocks. And again, during this decade, prior to this year and the downturn, small-cap stocks were vastly outperforming large stocks. So if the Fed, or shall we say when the Fed is successful at reliquifying the situation and the situation stabilizes, small-cap stocks should be the beneficiary of this.
In the meantime, will they have trouble accessing the capital markets?
That, I guess, is probably the real question is right now the Fed has been successful at thawing the problem. They have not been successful at kind of reliquifying the markets. And given the state of the situation right now, what we've seen in the past with other banking crises, that could take some time.
Doug, we've seen a series of cascading events this year where every time investors thought their problems were resolved, another one cropped up. What's the outlook for 2009?
I think 2009 probably the market is somewhat oversold. Assuming that we don't have any more explosions such as like the Madoff scandal, an international event, you could be due some type of a rally. The real question after that will be how effective the stimulus of the Obama administration is in stimulating the economy. If history is any guide, and if you look at really back in 2000, that may take some time, and you could have a rally followed by somewhat of a fall back to previous levels or even a possible break of previous levels. Again, much is dependent upon really what the new administration does, but history tells us that these problems, take some time to solve. So I don't think this is going to be like really a short and mild situation like 2001 or like 1987 or 1990. This is going to take some time to work out.
We'll see how it plays out. Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist for Channel Capital Research. Appreciate your comments and your insights. Have a good holiday season. Coming up, we'll take apart the trading day, look ahead to the final days of 2008 and the year ahead. Stay tuned as the Bloomberg Countdown continues. 2:37 now on Wall Street. This is the Bloomberg Countdown. What a year it's been for the U.S. economy and the Federal Reserve. Joining us now to talk about What's happened so far here in 2008, just days left, and what may lie ahead in 2009? Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist for ChannelCapitalResearch.com and author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Doug, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Phil.
All right, let's talk a little bit here about the economy, and then we'll get to the Fed's reaction to it. Economy shrank 0.5% in the third quarter, contraction the worst since 2001. Consumers cutting back on spending, the outlook for corporate earnings deteriorating, stocks down the biggest annual slump for the S&P 500 since 1931. How do you assess the year?
It was probably one of the worst years we've had for a long time. I think probably if you really want a caveat or a moniker for the year, it's really the excesses of the past came home to roost on multiple fronts this year. And that's really what you've had is initially it was purely a credit problem, but then that started rolling over and was actually exacerbated by the situation with Lehman. In retrospect, the bankruptcy of Lehman was probably the wrong way to handle the situation. One of the things we have to remember, and we've seen this actually from the Swedish banking crisis of the 90s and actually our earlier experience with banking failures, especially in the mid-80s of Continental Illinois, was that you can essentially eradicate the shareholders, possibly some of the subordinated bondholders. But if you let the entire company go in a bankruptcy where people are uncertain, especially in a situation like Lehman where it has such cross currents with the rest of the economy, it bogs up the entire system and then assumes a life of its own. And that's really what we found out. We were able to tolerate really the Bear Stearns liquidation, if you want to call it. You were able to tolerate with Fannie and Freddie. But once Lehman happened, really that had a backup in the CDS market that really nobody anticipated, and that was really what caused the problem. In terms of that, you also then have seen now, which we're fighting desperately, a rollover into the real economy, which is again kind of having a rollover effect and a ripple effect into other markets as well.
There have been those who said there may still be problems ahead with the credit card defaults and commercial real estate. What's your view?
I think distinctly it is, because right now you have a situation where 70% of the economy is based on consumer spending because the demographic factors and the credit factors, that is a huge impact of what's going on and also has worldwide implications. So right now it's going to require a massive amount of stimulus on the fiscal side and also continued stimulus on the monetary side. And that's going to be a substantial battle. And it's really a question of how quickly the new administration, the new Congress, can kind of get jobs on the ground. They have done some work toward thawing the credit markets. But right now, they really have to battle the real economy. And that is much easier said than done, especially since you can have some immediate terms effects, such as tax cuts, which President-elect Obama has talked about for the middle class. But ultimately, people need jobs. Otherwise, tax cuts really don't have that much of an effect. People tend to stash that in the bank unless the prospect of employment is positive. The only good thing that we can say is really because of the massive decrease in oil prices, that's already been like a tax cut onto the economy, which has been felt immediately.
All right, Doug, we're going to talk a little bit more about the economy and what actions Federal Reserve have done and what may lie ahead in a moment. First, it's 240 on Wall Street, so we'll zero in on the markets. Stocks have moved higher again. S&P 500 index now up about a point and a half, 0.2% at 869. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 20 points, 0.25% at 8489. And the NASDAQ Composite Index up 2 points, 0.1% advance at 1526. Treasuries have been higher throughout the day. The 10-year note up 11/32nds, yield 2.15%, according to BG Countermarket data. And crude oil with a gain of more than 6%, up $2.26, $37.61 a barrel now. COMEX gold also higher, 2.7%, up more than $23 at $871.20 an ounce. Back to our discussion on the economy and the Federal Reserve with Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist for ChannelCapitalResearch.com. Doug, you indicated that all the concerns here that we've seen in the U.S. economy this year started with this major concern about subprime lending and then spread to a wide variety of lending and throughout the broader economy. How much of a key is restoration in the housing market to what happens next?
I think very, very key, because really that has a tremendous linkage with consumer confidence. And really, you know, even in the short term, if you want any type of a rebound, you're going to need to have some, increase in consumer confidence, because 70% of the economy is based on that. There's really not enough fiscal stimulus that can replace that, at least in the short term, and they need to come up with something that does it. And if you look at really consumer confidence, it's linked to two things. One is net worth in the stock market and their investment portfolios, and the net worth of their house. And right now, until really they come up with some, I guess, restoration or the housing situation starts to work it out, it's going to continue to make consumers incredibly nervous.
Do consumers really have any spending power left?
Essentially, that's the real problem, is I think they have some left, but what you're now seeing, you know, you're seeing that right now. The discounters are continuing to do well. It's just what people are scaling back is things that were considered luxuries before. I don't think they're going to come back for a long period of time, and you're seeing that in the sales this Christmas. But at the same time, people are continuing to buy. But they're buying necessities, they're buying things that they want. They're buying, I guess, what you might call little luxuries. And for that, they want value. They want the best price. So the discounters you're seeing are continuing to do well. Some of the online retailers that offer large discounts as well continue to do well. But I think on the luxury end, you've got a long time before the customer starts doing that, and that's going to also impact the luxury end of the housing market as well.
Why is that? Why the luxury market of particular concern? After all, this is a group of people who had a fair amount of available cash.
Well, again, they had available cash, but a large part of it was tied up within the market. A certain amount of what they're talking about, too, is in a lot of situations, they were leveraged as well. And now, you also had a tremendous amount of building supply coming on the market as well. So what we tend to find sometimes in history is the areas that had the most amount of excess or, you know, performance tend to be the big, you know, the ones who are most hurt in the coming recession. We saw that in the tech market. We've seen that with housing. We're also seeing that as really in the luxury end of the market as well. People are finding that a lot of the jobs that are cutting back, at least this recession, are not just blue-collar jobs, they're white-collar jobs. And there's even a question with the stimulus program. Those are shovels on the ground, but there's a real question as to somebody who's been in a suit and tie behind the desk, is that person going to really go out into the field and start running a bulldozer? So that person might be the hardest hit, and even then, many of those things, especially in the financial sector, were bonus-driven, where a good portion of the compensation was bonus-driven. So even if those people do have jobs, the odds are the bonuses, at least for the next several years, are not going to be what they once were. And that has a significant effect.
So widespread malaise, then?
I'd say probably that's a pretty good way of putting it. It really depends. A large part is going to really depend upon how quickly the new administration can put this so-called infrastructure spending package into practice. Is it going to be an extended thing where we have to wait a year? And this is, by the way, also something that the Roosevelt administration dealt with as well. Their infrastructure tended to take a much longer period of time to get online. And what they essentially ended up doing was giving grants to local governments so that the spending could enter the system. By the way, tax cuts are also a way of doing that.
Okay, Doug, and we're going to talk about that when we resume our conversation here in just a few moments on the Bloomberg Countdown. Please stay with us. That and more coming up here on Bloomberg Radio. 2:45.